Well, hey, Regen. My name is Michael. Many of you know me as Zig. I have a new life in Christ. I'm in recovery from pride, porn, people pleasing, and this week, comfort. Well, hey, you guys see me on stage once a month, and I say the same thing every month. Tonight is my favorite night of the month because we get to celebrate commencement. We get to celebrate three groups tonight that are commencing. Yeah, you can cheer for that. And you guys don't get to experience it, but I get to, after this, spend time with each of these groups. And it really is my favorite night of the month. And I want to take a few minutes before we jump in and let you hear a couple of the stories that came out of this group, or so out of these groups. I want to take a couple minutes just to talk through why I love commencement night so much. I say it every single month. And so I want to talk through that, but I want to do it from a passage in Proverbs. And so we've been spending the last several weeks walking through different passages in Proverbs that talk about wisdom. And so, simply defined, wisdom is simply living God's way in God's world. You know, often we hear about the contradictions of you either can live wisely or you can live foolishly. And so we want to help you understand, what does wisdom look like? It's not just simple tips and tricks. Like, God has laid out for us how we can live wisely. And so tonight, I want to look at a very specific proverb that I think everyone in the room is going to be able to relate to. I know I relate to it at a deep, deep level. And I think the fact that you're in the room shows that you're probably going to understand it because you have experienced it in your own life. And so the proverb is Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now, hang with me. I know that's a little bit of a downer to start with. I was like, oh, but I felt this in my life. And so about 7 years ago, I walked in and sat right back there under the overhang. And my life was in shambles. I had a hidden addiction to pornography that had been going on for over a decade that no one knew about. My marriage was falling apart. Everything was crumbling. All my relationships were crumbling. I was experiencing this truth. You see, I thought I knew what I needed to fix myself. I thought I knew what I needed to provide comfort for me. And so I would run to pornography when things were hard. Or I would isolate myself when there was conflict in relationships. You see, even though I intellectually knew that that wasn't the right thing to do, my life showed that I thought it was the right thing because I kept running back to it. And you know what I experienced? I experienced death in relationships. I experienced death in my character because I was saying one thing and living another. That caused a ton of anxiety. That caused a ton of fear and isolation. And so my life was marked by a way that leads to death. Eventually, it would have reached a physical death. Because what Scripture tells us is that we are all sinful people, that we all seek to find our worth and our value and our hope and our comfort in things opposite of God. Paul pulls this apart even more. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, he says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters, nor the adulterers, nor the men who practice homosexuality, nor the thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor the revilers, nor the swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I don't want to read that for the purpose of bringing shame on people. This isn't an exhaustive list, because in other places in Scripture, Paul says that none are righteous, that all have turned away from God. And so he gives us a list here of some of the reasons, some of the things that we turn to. These are our sins. These are the things that we think are going to bring the things that we want in life. And what Paul tells us is that they actually don't. They are the things that lead to the way of death. Now, the reason I do read that is because I bet you're like me, and you can identify at least with one of the things listed in that verse. I think you would probably describe your actions by those. I would pick several to describe me. But the beauty of this verse is that it doesn't stop there. So even though we can identify with these, and we know that we are not righteous on our own, Paul doesn't stop. He continues on and says, "And such were some of you." That one sentence changes everything. Because what he has just done is listed the very things that many of us turn to. The very thing that separates us from God. And says, but there is hope for you. There is hope for change. Because he is writing to a church, to a group of people who would describe themselves with those things. But Paul is saying, but such were some of you, that they have changed. They are no longer identified by their sins. They are identified by something different. He goes on to say what that difference is. He says, but you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. I don't know what you walked in here with, but I want you to know that there is hope for you. That because of what Christ has done on the cross, because of his willingness to come live a perfect life, something that we could not do, because of his willingness to die on a cross, to pay for our sins, something we could not do, he has given us an opportunity. He has purchased for us hope. He says here that you are washed, meaning that you have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You are no longer marked by your sin. You are identified by Christ. And he says, and you have been sanctified, which means to be set apart, to be made new, meaning that you are no longer under the power of sin in your life. I want you to hear me say that there is an opportunity in Christ to find freedom from your sin because of what he has done for you. And so if you're a follower of Christ, please know that God loves you. If you're not a follower of Christ, please know that God loves you and that he has sent his son to do for you what you could not do for yourself. And he extends his grace to you, that all you have to do is respond. Romans says if you believe, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ was raised from the dead, that you will be saved. If you are a believer, I want you to know that you have been sanctified. You have been set apart and freed from the power of sin. And so if that is something you are struggling with, turn and look to Jesus. He wants to work in your life, that you would no longer be controlled by your sin. And then he goes on to say that you have been justified, which means you have been declared not guilty. Christ has taken the penalty of your sin as well. And so Jesus speaks about this specifically in John 10. He says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Doesn't that sound like the first verse we read from Proverbs? That the ways that seem right unto a man, but its end leads to death? But Jesus says, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. So Regen, I want you to know that you have hope in Christ to find life and to find freedom. And that it is not done simply by making a plan and working hard, but it is done because of what Christ has done for you. And so you have an opportunity to live in relationship with him. And in doing so, he will wash you, he will sanctify you, and he will justify you and give you a new life in Christ. which I think is what we're all hoping for. And so tonight, when we celebrate commencement, we celebrate the work that Christ has done in the lives of these men and women in the groups. They have been here for a year, and so we have faithfully watched God continue to work in their life. And so we celebrate that, not that they figured out a tip or trick, but that God is changing their lives.